Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
You're listening to the Common Fan Podcast, a Husker football podcast for the common fan by the common fan.
Welcome back to the Common Fan Podcast. I am TJ Burkle, as always, alongside Matty Owens Sr. and Geoff in Lincoln. Hey, Adam Carricker is going to be joining us today here in just a few minutes. I'm going to give us some insight on what he sees from the Huskers after two games as we head into Houston Christian Week. Also, make sure to get to the Common Fan website, www.commonfan.co. Subscribe on YouTube, like this episode, sign up for the newsletter, follow all the social media accounts, and generally keep up with all the fun and frivolity of the Common Fans. We got a very special guest with us right now. You've heard us talk about our new partnership with Oak Barn Beef that we're so excited about. Hannah from Oak Barn Beef is with us today. Hannah, what's going on?
Not a lot, just shipping some beef today, but overall just excited to be here.
Awesome. Woo. Love to hear that. Tell us a little bit about Oak Barn Beef, like how it started and sort of how it came about, your background. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So I actually started Oak Barn Beef when I was a sophomore in college at the University of Nebraska-Lincoln. So go Big
wow.
Red. Yeah.
Big Red.
In partnership with the Angler Entrepreneurship Program, they just really pushed me to become an entrepreneur while a student. So that's where Oak Barn Beef was born. And now about 7.5 years later, we are based in West Point, Nebraska, which is where our farm is. And we sell our family farm's beef online and ship nationwide with one-off orders, partner with like corporate gifting options for businesses, and then also have a subscription box. And then in West Point as well, we have a storefront here so customers can come in and just shop our dry-aged beef right from the store too.
That's so cool. And Common Fans, you can get your Oak Barn Beef at oakbarnbeef.com. Go to oakbarnbeef.com. They got a ton of cool stuff. You can order like individual steaks, or they have some bigger bundles, beef bundles. Who doesn't want a beef bundle? I mean, come on. Everybody yeah. wants a beef bundle. And they've got, even the beef bundles are different sizes. You get a smaller one, couple of steaks, you get a big one to fill your freezer and everything in between. Well, that's super cool, Hannah. And look, it's football season. It's going to start cooling down and everybody loves the thought of having, you know, football on the TV, maybe a roast in the oven, maybe steaks on the grill. What are some of your favorite things, to make during this time of year?
Yeah. Well, you can't go wrong with a good chili. That's always what I think of with football season. But I think that tri-tip beef roast is a great idea, too. So some people aren't familiar with this cut, but it's a great smoking cut, similar to a brisket, but it cooks faster and it still has that really good like beef flavor with it, too. So you can pair that, slice it thin and put it on some Hawaiian buns, make some sliders. But that's one we love at our house.
I have smoked a tri-tip roast in the past, and it is fantastic. I am familiar with that cut, and it is great for smoking. Fantastic.
Love it.
So do you always smoke it, Hannah, or are there different ways to prepare it?
I have only smoked it, and I think most of our customers do it that way, too. I'm wondering if you can you can probably do like an oven cook just like you can with the brisket too.
I did. Well, I've grilled it before, but I also did it in the oven. And it was delicious that way too. Tri-tip's great. Very versatile. Very versatile.
I was a big fan of just like, you know, a lot of cuts of meat it takes, you know, you have to reserve like an entire Saturday or Sunday. I felt like the tri-tip only took a few hours to get it cooked really well. So
yeah,
good call on that one.
Yeah. We'll be ready to eat.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, and this is a family business, right? Hannah, you run it with your husband?
Yeah. Yep. So I do most of the day-to-day, but my husband is, he also has a 9-8-to-5 job. So he helps as much as he can. But then, I mean, as with the cattle and everything else, our both sides of our family are very involved too. So I kind of started working like with my parents' family farm when I just started the business when I was in college. And then when my husband and I got married and moved it to West Point, we brought the business here and started working more like with his family farm too. So it's definitely a family business. And we've got two girls, 1 and 2 year olds. So they are in everything. And
you're in it. Right. You're in the thick of it right now.
Well, get them out there and put them to work, right?
Yeah. They destroy more than they need to at this point. But we actually got some turkeys for Thanksgiving this year. So it's Oak Barn beef, but we're doing Oak Barn turkeys too this year. So
love that. That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. The girls have been very interested in seeing that side of it too.
And common fans order an Oak Barn turkey online.
Yeah, they can. We are taking like reservations for the turkeys right now, so they can reserve their turkeys on our website, and then they'll be processed the end of October, and then we'll know like exactly the weight and all of that. But It's something to think about, TJ.
Well, we know how much you love turkey.
Get your spot, common fans. Get your spot in line. Go to oakbarnbeef.com. Reserve your turkey. Hannah, we've talked about this a couple of times. Don't get mad at me. I'm actually opposed to turkey on Thanksgiving because I prefer beef. I prefer steak on Thanksgiving. I want to be clear about that. This has taken up almost entire episodes of ours in the past. Others do not agree with me, but that's one less person in line. One less person in line at oakbarnbeef.com.
Yep.
So we used to always, our marketing scheme was like, ditch the turkey for Thanksgiving. So it's kind of ironic now that we're bringing that back. But we have prime rib.
Just still ditch the turkey and get the prime rib, but get it at Oak Barn Beef.
Yeah.
Well, any seasonal specials or anything going on right now that common fans need to know about?
You know, I think our beef sticks and beef jerky are a hit during football season for a lot of our customers. So they're good snacks to bring along to you with tailgating. I always have some in my purse. They're good purse snacks. And then also like good additions to Bloody Marys too. So that goes hand in hand.
Sure.
11 a.m. kickoff this week, Husker fans. Get that Bloody Mary going. Throw an Oak Barn beef stick in there. Why not?
I can't beat it. I mean, what's a Nebraska small business, beef business? I mean, you're going to go to the grocery store anyway, common fans. You're buying beef for your family anyway. Why not support Hannah and Oak Barn Beef? I know what I was going to ask you, Hannah. Tell us about the dry aging process really quick.
Yeah. So most things that you hear about with dry aging, it's at the top end steakhouses. But we dry age the whole beef. So it's just the natural enzymes in the beef make it a lot more tender and flavorful the longer you age it. So like a good cheese like a fine wine or like a good cheese that you age them and they get better with time and it just intensifies the flavor and makes it a lot more tender too.
You can basically get fine dining restaurant style steak, support a great Nebraska business and get it shipped right to your front door. What are you waiting for, common fans? What are you waiting for? Oakbarnbeef.com. Check it out, oakbarnbeef.com. The three common fans here will be making some Oak Barn beef this fall, and so we're gonna put out some reports about what our favorite cuts are and what our favorite
smoker's gonna get a lot of use. Yeah, oh yeah, just get ready. I'll give you my feedback. I'm sure it'll all be positive.
Jeff, do you feel like you prefer smoking your meats because you're lazy?
Yes. 100%. That was the quickest answer I've ever given. Yes. You stand around there and you walk away.
All right. We've got it. All right. Well, common fans, Hannah, anything else the common fans need to know?
No, I would say since the kickoff of this partnership, we've seen a lot of Nebraska orders come through, and I think it's in part of Common Fan, and we'd love to keep feeding Nebraska football fans. So check oakbarnbeef.com.
Yep. Love to hear that. Yep. Oakbarnbeef.com. And we've got a lot of listeners from sea to shining sea, I will point out. Wherever you are, Common Fans, in the continental United States, Oak Barn Beef will ship to you. So make sure to go to oakbarnbeef.com and get your beef there. Hannah, awesome to have you on. So excited to be partnering with you this season, and we will talk to you soon.
Me too. Go Big Red.
Go Big Red.
Hey, and that's perfect timing. Adam Carriker is here. What's going on, Adam?
Oh, you couldn't have timed that any better.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What's Perfect. Going on, man? What is that, a Captain America t-shirt?
Yes, it is. It's only like Indeed. 7 years old, so that's a perfectly normal thing to wear.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Adam, I want to jump right in. You are a football player. You've been in lots of locker rooms at the highest levels. Would love to hear your take on Matt Rhule's halftime speech when he kind of lit into the team, even though they were up 33-0 at the half. What's your kind of take on that? What's the effect on the team? What do you think it means about Matt Rhule's leadership? All those things.
I loved it. And I know everybody loves it. Everybody says they love it, right? But I really did. And I'll explain why. So for multiple reasons, I've coached for over a decade now, all the way from elementary school up to high school. And I tell the kids, no matter the age, even when I talk to like college teams or whatever, I'm like, don't pay attention to the scoreboard. Now, if you're coaching in college and pro sports, you better be paying attention to the scoreboard because you're going to get hired, fired, raised, and et cetera, analyzed based off that. But when you're a player, you can't look at it that way, okay? You need to be in the moment. You need to be focusing on what you can control. You need to be focusing on what matters. And then what matters is a standard and a level of play that you expect from yourself, because if it's about the scoreboard, you're going to yo-yo. If it's about the opponent, good, bad, you're going to yo-yo. Consistency is the hardest thing to achieve, especially the more time goes on. It's harder to stay. Anybody can do it for short bursts and be really good as long as you got a little bit of talent. Consistency is hard. Yo-yoing is common. And the way to avoid that is have a standard level, a standard of play and a standard level of accountability for yourself built in. It can't be revolved around the opponent or the scoreboard. Matt Rhule says, I want to see what the tape looks like. That's how he phrases it. When I talk to teams, I'll tell them, I don't care if it's 50-0, 0-50, or 0-0, you always go out and you play the same. In fact, the team that I coached the most recently, very good team, kind of killed everybody. And the most frustrated I got with them was one of our most lopsided wins, because it was ugly at half and then it leveled off. And I said, hey, I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in what that tells me. And what that tells me is you leveled off and didn't play as hard in the second half. And the happiest I was with them was our one loss. One undefeated team from Lincoln, that was us. One undefeated team from Omaha, we met in the championship. We lost. And I told them that's the most proud of them I was the entire season. We were down by double digits. I was like, this might get ugly. We'd only been together a couple of months. That team's been together for 3 years. And I was like, I don't know what's going to happen right now. They fought all the way back. Tied it. I thought it was a wrap. I was like, they called timeout. They were scrambling. I'm like, we're going to win. They ended up beating us. They're a good team. I told the team afterwards, this is the most proud I've ever been of you. And it was after the only loss, because it can't be based off the scoreboard if you want to actually be consistent. Otherwise, you're going to yo-yo too much.
I see. I got a question for you here. And this is kind of the biggest, like, I would think, question mark that coming into the season that we weren't sure about was just the performance of special teams in the past. We don't have to go down that road. We know it's been subpar. And so when you finally get glimmers of hope, we haven't missed a field goal yet this season, which is fantastic. I mean, I'm doing this right now from my basement on this desk. So yes, go. I am knocking on wood. We've seen glimmers of hope now. I mean, we've actually attempted at returning punts. I mean, Ja'Cory Barty's got like 87 punt yards in Saturday's game. We haven't missed a field goal. We blocked an Akron field goal. We haven't done that in forever. Things are looking on the up. Can Husker fans finally maybe not have to hold their breath when special teams hits the field now under Mike Eckler's leadership?
Maybe.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Things are clearly better. That's not the answer you want. I'm optimistic we'll be there shortly. I just want to get through the Michigan game. Let's get through Houston Christian. Let's get through Michigan, where there's a lot more scrutiny, a lot more eyeballs. You're playing a big name brand team. Okay, let's get through that game. We get through that game relatively unscathed, and I'll give you two thumbs up. And I do feel pretty good about it. Just I got to see it through two more games for sure. You made great points. I mean, we blocked a field goal on Saturday's game. Do you realize they actually scored more points in the second half of the Akron game than they did in the first half? It was 33-0 at halftime. We won 68-0.
Yeah.
That's with a lot of the backups in. 108 guys played in that game. That's second, third, fourth stringers in. So just to add to the first question, as far as special teams, we had 10 blocked kicks. Now, we blocked 10 kicks. We had 10 of our kicks blocked last year. I've coached middle school teams where I didn't have to worry about that many blocked teams. It's crazy.
Yeah.
So that is obviously improved. We've kicked the ball out of bounds a couple times. I'm sure they're getting on that. That's not something that's one of the easier fixable type things. You know, just kick it in the big green thing between the white lines. That's easier to fix. It's when you're trying to be too coffin corner with your kickoffs. It's just maybe just a little less particular with where it's going. The return yards. You know, we had more return yards in Akron's game alone than all of last year combined. It was like 75 yards last year combined. So
wild.
There's a lot of reason for optimism, from the kicking game, the punting game, the coverage game, to the return game, kickoff return. You know, I got no problem with who they've got back there, but I'd like to see some other guys get a shot as well and just see what they can maybe do in the kick return game.
Gotcha.
Adam, I kind of want to switch gears to personnel and looking at some of the additions this year. You know, you can obviously tell through a couple of games that, you know, the couple of wide receivers that we added, Dane Key and Isaiah Hunter, certainly making an impact. I think one other name that I think Husker fans are a little bit perplexed on is Elijah Pritchett. We know that the guy's talented. I mean, you don't get a scholarship from Alabama, especially, I believe he got recruited by Nick Saban's staff. You don't get that without having some sort of talent on paper and on film and all that. What's the deal with Pritchett? You know, we got the depth chart out and he's point blank looks like third string now. Is it simply, you know, we know we got reports of him, you know, jumping too much, doing too many false starts. Is that simply what it is, or is it something they want him to work harder? Do you have any insight for the common fans as to what's going on with Elijah?
So when it comes to talent, according to 24/7 Sports, he was the number one rated offensive tackle in the entire country coming out of high school. Mm-hmm. So depending on what recruiting service you look at, he was number one in the entire country. If you look at he was projected first round at the end of last spring, which still blew my mind. Not that the talent isn't there, but if you look at the grades from last year, Alabama's offensive line, there was four guys that were relatively similar, and there was one guy that was not, and it was not in the direction you want. Now, the talent is there, which is why you bring a guy like that in. As far as pure talent, I would say Elijah, I would say Williams Wanieri and Dylan Raiola stick out as three guys who have first-round NFL talent all over them. As far as the lack of consistency, which, again, is the hardest thing to find, one word is undisciplined or not consistent, if you want to go for two, from false starts to not knowing assignments to not always playing the way you want a guy to play. If you look at the run blocking grades or pass blocking grades after the Cincinnati game, he was rated number one.
Mm-hmm.
But he also had the false start on the 1 yard line. He also had some other things. When he latches on, he's probably our best blocker. It's just, are you going to do it correctly? Are you going to block the right guy, which then has a ricochet problematic effect? It's those other things that actually have nothing to do with talent that he's got to be more reliable, more disciplined, and be more consistent with.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
That makes sense. So, Adam, we said after the Cincinnati game, great to get the win, celebrating the W, had to get out of there with the W. But we also said, that team we saw in game one did not look like a playoff team. But that now I think the way I kind of think about it, though, is not to dismiss Akron and HCU too much, but we saw the Akron game and, you know, we got HCU here in a few days. It's kind of like Cincinnati game's over. You get a week of practice, then Akron, second week of practice, then HCU, third week of practice. It's almost like another mini camp. Not that we're taking these opponents for granted. With some elevated scrimmages in between, you know, whatever concerns may have popped their heads in the Cincinnati game, whether that was the front seven on defense, occasionally, not always, but occasionally getting pushed around, maybe offense kind of stalling out at times. How much can they, you know, how much can we reasonably expect the overall operation to improve in time for Michigan? And like, I mean, I'm still hoping for a playoff. Like when come on, let's be honest. We're all thinking about it when we're going to grab lunch in the middle of the workday or whatever. So, well, if we get through Michigan, then look at the schedule, that kind of thing. So like, well, I guess, I mean, like how beneficial is this schedule to have these three more weeks? We can basically bank on two wins to work out as many kinks as possible.
It's actually huge. So coming into the season, I refuse to engage. As much as I'm excited about the thought of, I refuse to engage in the talk of playoffs for Nebraska. And we go 4-0 and beat Michigan, which, by the way, I predicted before the season started. I said in my prediction show, will Nebraska win 9 games or more? I said I'd be happy with 8 because it means we're not stalling out. We're not going backwards. We're just at least going in the right direction. All the offseason hoopla was great. Okay, we're going to have one of the best defensive lines around. The offensive line was one of the highlights of spring ball. By the way, they're going against the D-line. So what does that mean? I don't know. He also said that D-line statement before we'd ever had a single practice in spring. Our wide receivers are elite. Dylan Raiola is one of the smartest quarterbacks I've ever seen. He's making throws I've never seen before. These are all the coaches are off talking here. And then I love Spindler. And he's like, hey, we got enough talent to win the Joe Moorhead Award this year. Now, when he says Notre Dame's offensive line was really good last year, he's correct. He would know better than I. When he says this year's Nebraska's offensive line is more talented, okay, those are his words. It's kind of like when Adrian Martinez went to Kansas State. It's like, I've never been on this talented of a team. And then if I'm not wrong, they did win the Big 12 2 years later. So there was something to that. But I took all that offseason hype and I said, am I hearing what they're seeing or am I hearing what they want to see? And I got the feeling I might be hearing what they want to see. And it was almost like the Florida State quarterback. His name escapes me, but he's like, Nick Saban can't save Alabama and we're going to beat Alabama. And then he goes out and backs it up. I almost felt like Wool was trying to do something similar and galvanize his team around him the way Florida State galvanized around their quarterback. We just haven't had a chance to see improve Michigan State team to see if they're truly galvanized. The Cincinnati game.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Love espresso, drip coffee, and cold brew? With the Ninja Luxe Cafe, if you can crave it, you can brew it. Espresso? Balanced. Drip coffee? Rich. Cold brew? In a flash. With Barista Assist technology, you brew with no stress and no guesswork. And make perfect silky microfoam hands-free from dairy or plant-based milks. Bring the coffee house home and unlock your favorites with the Ninja Luxe Cafe.
I honestly thought, I was surprised we weren't favored by more. I was surprised we didn't win by double digits. I also said going in, I said, I just want to win because we have so much new. They have so much new and they're going to be better than they were last year. And they are. They're unequivocally a bowl team. 6-6, 9-3. I don't know. Okay. But they're exponentially better than they were last year. First games of the year without an NFL preseason to really get ready. I just want to get out of there with a win. And then the game happened. The sky was falling for most people, and I was like, wait, this is exactly what I said. I just want to get out of here with the win, albeit I did think we'd win by more. But my preseason prediction, I actually said we'd win 9 games was my prediction, and I'm sticking to that. For me, I wanted at least 8. We got to be going the right direction. If we ain't going the right direction, what are we doing here? I think 9 is reasonable, especially with the schedule, which doesn't look as easy as it once did if you start to look around at USC and maybe some of these other teams. But that's something I factored in because a year ago you heard, oh, Indiana's awful, Illinois is this and that, and then they turned out to be Indiana and Illinois. So for me, I don't look at it through the lens of a potential college football playoff team. I look at it through the lens of, are we definitely going to win 8 games? will we win 9 games? Because that would have me jumping for joy. We get through Michigan 4-0. Then I might start throwing out the CFP words and stuff like that. I haven't engaged in that just yet because I look at what we heard all offseason. Matt Rhule, year 3 jump, all that stuff. The jump's going to happen. It's been guaranteed to us. I look at that and I'm like, I got to see it on the field first. I got to see it on the field. And I'm really glad we beat Cincy because these past 2 weeks, we needed to improve. We needed to get better. And it was just like, just get out of there with a win that first game. We have an opportunity to get better. And then we'll find out where we're at versus Michigan.
Yeah. Yeah. So one thing, Adam, so Cincinnati ran for over 200 yards. A lot of that was Soresby. Almost half of that was Soresby. Akron didn't do much right, but they ran for over 100 yards. And it's interesting because it's kind of flipped from where Matt Rhule's first two teams were. We're number 2 in the country in passing defense, mm-hmm. but we're like 96 or something like that, 98, something like that in rushing defense. And we lost Ty and we lost Nash and Jamari Butler transferred. And we had a ton of turnover on the D line. How much of that is just what it is this year? And how much of that with young guys and transfers can improve week over week?
Yeah, you make a fair point. When you think about what you feel good about this team, special teams. You feel better about the offense after Akron. Can we get the explosive plays? We heard all camp, they were efficient. Coming into the season, I was like, the secondary should be great. But I got to see it. Well, I've seen it so far. Okay, number 2 pass defense in the country, like you mentioned. Soresby throws for 333 last Saturday, but 69 versus us. Okay, and we're allowing a thumbs up, guys. We're allowing a 46% completion percentage to opposing quarterbacks right now, which is insane, and only 65.5 pass yards per game, which is number 2 in the country, as you mentioned. So for me, the pass defense, I feel pretty good about. It's John Butler's forte. Him and Tony White were button heads last year. I'm just going to say it. Nobody will come out and say it else. They were button heads. Okay, and that was the problem. John Butler knows how to coach secondary. That's where our experience is on defense. The front 7, I don't want to say it is what it is. It is what it is in the aspect of 320-pound guys aren't walking through the door right now. That's not going to change. But they're so young. So young. All right? Yeah. Not a single senior up front. And a lot of underclassmen. They are going to get better throughout the season because young players improve at a faster rate than players who've done it before. And so for me, the chance of getting better versus the run is exponentially there. I mean, even you look at Akron, their starting running back averaged 5 yards per carry against us. And a lot of that was leaky second half. Sound familiar? So we got to address that. Also, they ran for 89 yards versus Wyoming, but 113 versus us. They ran the ball more versus us, but still. So for me, that's the number one thing on defense. They absolutely can get better. What concerns me is knowing the bigger bodies. We only got 2 guys who are listed at 300 pounds on the entire team, which means we maybe have 2 guys who are 300 pounds. Listings are grain of salt. I'm doing great here.
This is fantastic.
You got balloons and graphics.
Phones do here.
This is well produced. This is well produced. What we got going on here?
For those not watching, Adam's hand motions are causing all kinds of images to pop up here. thumbs ups and balloons and everything. So
I was interviewing Wistrom last February, and all of a sudden balloons came up on the screen. Now I know why. At the time, I'm like, "What is going on?" And Wistrom just started laughing. Now I know it's the hand movements. So maybe we have 2 300 pounders, maybe. And only one of them plays a lot, and that's Elijah Judy. The other one's a younger player who's not ready yet. So what you have to do is you have to stunt. Okay, that's fine. And if you do that sporadically and you do it one game but not another game, you can catch teams off guard. The advantage to that is you should get a lot more penetration, tackles for loss. We need to get after the quarterback a lot better, more consistently, by the way. But if somebody's out, if somebody gets reached, if somebody's out of their gap, if somebody gets scooped, if somebody isn't there, all it takes is one person. You got a big lane. And so for me, that's the concern is, can we get tackles for loss? Can we hold up front without giving up the big play? And that's something we're going to be fighting all year long this year. You watch the Akron game and it was great. They were stunting. They were blitzing. It was man to man on the backside, which you can do versus a non-running quarterback, not versus a running quarterback. It was great. But what if there's a crease? I mean, Maryland's freshman quarterback, he's got legs like Soresby too. I'm not trying to be doomsday, but if I'm Butler, these are the things I'm already prepping and planning for in my head as the season goes along.
Yeah. So you think, you know, these young guys on the D-line and really the front 7, really kind of a trial by fire thing. So you think between them just getting more reps and then also Butler dialing up some stunts and some pressure is how we're going to get to the quarterback. Cause it's, I know that there haven't been a lot of true dropbacks, you know, the first couple of games, and you've got Sorsby's mobile the first game, and a lot of whatever passes were thrown seemed to be pretty quick in the Akron game. Is that how we're going to get to the quarterbacks? You know, Nebraska fans, we love getting to the quarterback. And if we're not going to sack him, at least put him on the ground. I think a lot of us really would like to see more of that.
It appears through two games that's how we're going to have to stop the run. What you would like to do is put your hand in the dirt, hit somebody in the mouth. They can't move you. Your linebackers flow over the top, and that stops your run. I don't know if we can do that. So you have to create movement and blitz. Luckily, in a 3-3-5 hybrid, which is what we are, you plan on doing a lot of that stuff anyway. So you're not really recreating your defense from scratch. You're just adding a few more wrinkles based on what you've got. As far as getting after the quarterback, we didn't get our first sack of the season until 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Does that do anything? That doesn't do anything. Okay. Every time I'm like, what's going to happen here with the scream? And then we ended up with two sacks. So through two games, we have two sacks. We've kind of shown we're probably not going to consistently get there on our own. So we've got to find ways to help ourselves, so to speak. And again, as the year goes along, like Van Poppel's a good player. He's going to emerge at some point. Some of these guys are going to emerge at some point. I just don't know when that's going to be. And you've got to be able to, I don't want to say manufacture, but find ways to get after the quarterback in the meantime.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah. All right. So do you want to, this is actually not the question I was going to ask. Do you want to shed any more light on the feud between Butler and Tony White, or? Yeah. Do you have insight into that, or was this
I have a little bit, but I don't even have to share insight. Like, people just look at what happened. Go all the way back to, we're still in this summer, so I'll say a summer ago, maybe two Junes ago, all of a sudden Terrence White, his entire bio has changed on Twitter. And people didn't want it to be a thing. Or Terrence Knighton, I'm sorry, I said Terrence White. Terrence Knighton, his entire bio changes on Twitter. Then within 48 hours, it's back. And some things were the same as before. But pretty much he went back to the Husker thing. But you got to keep in mind, it wasn't too long before that John Butler came in. And so then all of a sudden at the end of last year, all right, so the secondary seems discombobulated, which makes no sense considering we didn't have that the year before. You literally have a secondary expert coming in. I'm not just saying a secondary's coach. This guy had the number one pass defense in the NFL for five straight years. That's a secondary expert coming in. And all of a sudden, that's the weakness of the defense. That doesn't make sense. And then, as soon as the season's over, Tony and Terrence are gone. And so for me, sometimes if you just connect dots, whether you want to or not, it's kind of right there for you. And that's without even sharing any insight. That's just simply what's out there for everybody knows.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, look, we're moving forward, right? I mean, I don't know why. I don't know why I needed to stir the pot there. So, Adam, you said you predicted 9-3 before the season. You're sticking with 9-3. Are there any games you think we might win that maybe most Husker fans are nervous about? Or conversely, is there one you think many Husker fans are probably thinking, hey, that's a W that you're a little bit more concerned about?
After this Saturday, it's wide open. I don't take anything for granted anymore. I don't. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Michigan would be a big one if we could get that. You go on down the road. I consider Minnesota a big one. What have they beaten us five times in a row and six out of seven, which is inexplicable because their recruiting classes have been ranked higher than ours zero times. So we're going to Maryland, which is two time zones, right? And they look halfway decent right now. They're balloons. They're, what is it, the peace sign? Okay, stand here like a good boy and not move my hands. That's not happening. We're going halfway across the country. Teams who travel, well, actually it's one time zone, but halfway across the country, that may be an 11 a.m. game, our first road game of the year, maybe an 11 a.m. game like Purdue last year, if you remember how close that was into the third quarter. They look better. Maryland always starts hot and then fizzles for some reason, whatever that may be. So take that for whatever it's worth. But then we come right back on a short week and go to Minnesota. So that Maryland game's not a gimme, but the Minnesota game's one I've had circled for a while. Okay. And our good buddy, Mr. Ankles, PJ, that guy wear dress shoes with no socks all the time guy. So I would say Michigan, I'd say Minnesota. USC obviously stands out, and Lincoln Riley's been in, I don't want to say absurdly confident, but absurdly confident this entire offseason for a guy who should be on the hot seat. And then they go out and they drop 70 and they look the way they do the first two games. That, and not their best opponents, but we played Akron. And so for me, that game is going to be electrifying. Night game, November, Nebraska, USC, alternate game, whether you like that or not. I think they're going to be a lot better than people think, probably ranked. Penn State obviously goes without saying, and Iowa. So for me, the games that people aren't talking about is every other game that you can't afford to take for granted. And that includes Northwestern, who for some reason always plays us close, which is really freaking annoying. Yeah. Although they do seem to be really bad. But you know, all those other games, it's like, hey, we're going to be 3-0 going into those. To get to 9 wins, all we'd have to do is go 6-3 or 5-4 to get to my 8 wins, which is like my bottom of what I consider acceptable for this year. So all those games kind of stick out. But after this Saturday, with all due respect to Houston Christian, I'm not taking anything for granted.
Well, even Michigan State makes me nervous, if I'm being honest, just because like they appear to be a little bit better this year. I think Jonathan Smith is a good coach. Aiden Childs can run, their quarterback. And it's like, I mean, one, like in one breath, I want to believe Nebraska is a borderline playoff team. In the next breath, we've been kind of right where Michigan State's been the last few years. By the way, not to change the subject, speaking of PJ Fleck, that's probably Jeff's favorite coach.
Watch your mouth when you're talking to me like that. Watch your mouth.
I was just going to say, I actually don't dislike PJ Fleck like most Nebraska people do. He's gone to Minnesota. He's given them pizzazz, whether you like how he's done it or not. They've never really had pizzazz, with all due respect. And he's beating us with lesser talented teams. As much as I hate that,
he's doing
a good job.
Well, if you look, he looks like Mr. Ankles, no socks, dress shoes guy. Yeah. Like you look at the whole persona, it doesn't seem like it seems like a guy who'd be throwing it up 50 times a game. He plays like as close to Iowa as anybody else in the Big Ten. Tough defense.
Yep.
Plotting, grind it out offense.
Not Hollywood.
Rocks, lights. They're usually really disciplined. Yeah, not Hollywood at all. So anyway, Jeff, you had something.
I was just going to point out, it's more of an observation, that me and Adam both picked 9-3. He mentioned circling Minnesota on the calendar. I did the same thing. You guys were complaining that maybe the Cincinnati game wasn't as well played as it should have been. And I claim that we just needed to get a W, and we did. Adam said the same thing. So I guess really what I'm pointing out here is that me and Adam are kind of on a higher level of game analysis, whereas you two are
higher level.
Kind of down on this level.
You said higher level.
So Jeff, you didn't have a question then. That was my observation there.
You just wanted to brag.
You just want to talk about yourself.
But Jeff kind of seems like a kind of guy that would wear no socks with dress shoes too. So I feel like him and PJ kind of have that.
Watch your mouth.
I think PJ pulls it off much better than Jeff would.
Oh, he definitely would.
I don't know how he does that. I would have pictures within 10 minutes. I really would. I'm not even joking. I don't even know how he does that. Dress shoes with no socks. To your point about Michigan State, like, I saw a random tweet. Oh, who was it? It was like way back in February. And they're like, contrary to what people think, Michigan State's going to be better this year. And I was like, so I looked into it. I know Jonathan Smith very well. I grew up in the Northwest. Okay. He was the last time Oregon State was really good, 2001. They were number 4 in the entire country, lost one game the entire year by a field goal to a team who ended up number 3 in the country. He was their quarterback. That team had Ocho Cinco, TJ Houshmandzadeh. So he had success as a quarterback. Then he built him up as a head coach when they were god-awful before he got there. Goes to Michigan State, and now he's got Childs. He's got a much improved team. And so I looked into it. I was like, gosh dang, they're right. Michigan State is going to be better. And then I'm like, we get them right after Michigan. We're either going to be maybe a letdown game if we win. How do we bounce back if it's a tough loss? We get them after a bye week. That's the one thing I do like. At home after a bye week is when we play Michigan State. I like that.
Yeah.
Well, as you guys may recall in our scheduled pick'em episodes with Michael Severe, I picked that one as a loss. So
you did.
I still haven't recovered from that.
mostly it was because I had a hard time believing we were going to start 7-0, and there was no way, even though Minnesota to me is a much tougher test, I'm just not picking us to lose to Minnesota. I will never do that. I can't do that.
Fair.
Yeah.
I do think Matt Rhule will go out of his way. Like, when I played, there were always certain games. Coach would never say it, but you could just tell they circled certain games because all of a sudden we're playing one team like a Houston Christian week and we're working on Texas's offense for no reason. We don't play Texas for 6 weeks. Like you could just tell when coaches would kind of say certain things or they start implementing certain things and you're working on certain things. I have a feeling Matt Rhule has circled that Minnesota game and said, we're not losing to that team. I will say you make a good point. I've been very nervous because which is why I like the bye week between the two Michigan teams, Michigan, Michigan State. I was like, if we beat Michigan, what are the odds we beat Michigan State too? Or if we lose to Michigan, we better not lose to Michigan State too. I have a feeling I predicted us to be 4-1 after 5 games, and I predicted us to beat Michigan. So what does that tell you about Michigan State? So it's kind of like, but if we lose to Michigan, I think we beat Michigan State. I think we go 1-1 versus them, however that unfolds.
Yeah. Do you think Matt Rhule has a picture of PJ Fleck's bald head in his office just like circled?
Do you think? I think it's up on the mirror, like on Rocky IV, like when he has just the picture.
I think when Rhule's doing his podcast, he has his picture right above the camera so he can stare at it every Thursday.
I love that. Well, I know, Adam, you're up against time, and I think Geoff's got to run here shortly, too. Any final thoughts, Adam? Like anything? So we're only 2 games in. Anything surprising so far this year or any positive developments that you didn't expect or anything like that?
No, man. My final thoughts are we're the youngest team in the Big Ten. We're number 20 in the entire country when you look at talent composite rankings. So the talent and athleticism is there. The size on the offensive line is not yet on the defensive line, which doesn't mean you can't be decent. You just got to figure out what your strengths are. So for me, this could be a bit of a yo-yo season because we might look great at times and then the youth might show through. The reason I didn't pick 8-4, when I went into that show, I did not go through each game and I literally was picking them live while I was going on the show, even though the show is pre-recorded. But you get, I was picking them as I was doing the show.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm going to end up at 8-4. I ended up 9-3. And I was like, how did I end up with that? There's two people to help give me confidence beyond the preseason playoff talk and Matt Rhule year 3 jump and everything else. It's guys named Mike Eckler and Dana Holgorsen. And I was like, there it is.
Oh, there's
it is.
The balloons.
I bet that was the peace sign. Yeah.
Balloons. I was like, how many games do you think we would have won if we were just average on special teams? We appear to be above average. Yes. If we were just average, that's another 1-2 wins a year. Mike Eckler is like 1-2 wins a year. And then I was like, we've been so awful on offense. Is that not worth another 1-2 wins? Now, I wasn't going to add 4 wins to last year and say 11-1. I kind of chose the middle as the show went along and it ended up being 9-3. So those two guys are the reasons I went from 8-4 to 9-3. I didn't talk about double digit yet, but 9-3. And that's why I'm sticking with it.
Let's go. Love it.
Let's go, baby.
Friend of the program, Adam Carriker, awesome to have you back on the Common Fan Podcast. Thanks for joining us. Houston Christian on Saturday. Common fans, everyone fully expects the Huskers to be 3-0 at that point, and then we turn all our attention to the Michigan Wolverines. We'll be back at you soon, Common fans. In the meantime, as always, GBR for life.
Holy moly! Man, woman, and child did that. Put them in the aisles.
And Nebraska takes the lead. And the national championship is Nebraska's.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply, in-app only.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.